On today's program, we're going to have Charles Simpson. Charles Simpson is an internationally known author, Bible teacher, and pastor, serving in ministry since 1955. His humor and storytelling often carry a deeper message that is prophetic in its timelessness. Born in New Orleans in 1937, Brother Charles grew up as a son of a Baptist pastor in the bayous of Louisiana and then later in southern Alabama. He responded to God's call in his life to go into ministry in 1955 at the age of 18. And 2 years later, he became a pastor of a Southern Baptist church in Mobile, Alabama. Brother Charles completed his bachelor's degree at William Carey College in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in 1959 and attended the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, listen to this. In 1964, he experienced a profound personal spiritual renewal and began traveling, teaching to churches worldwide, and became widely recognized as a pioneer in the modern charismatic renewal movement. Charles Simpson became part of the inaugural issue of New Wine Magazine, an international publication dedicated to Christian growth in 1969. During the 17 years, Charles wrote and served alongside other notable Bible teachers on the board of New Wine, including Don Basham, Ern Baxter, Bob Mumford, and Derek Prince. Well, Brother Charles and a team of pastors founded Covenant Church in Mobile in 1973 based on an organic home cell group centered making disciples for Jesus Christ and extended Christ's kingdom around the world. In 1985, out of a strong ongoing emphasis on praise and worship, New Wine gave birth to Integrity Media, which became the largest praise and worship music company in the world, led by Michael Coleman. Brother Charles served as Integrity's board member from 1985 to 2011 until Integrity Media was actually sold to the David Cook Seed Company. Charles Simpson is the author of numerous books, including Courageous Living, The Challenge to Care, Ants, Vines, and Churches, and Straight Answers to 21 Honest Questions About Prayer. And now, my interview with Charles Simpson. Let's go there.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I'm thinking about when I'm reading your book, you know, Ants, Vines, and the Church, is that we live in such an infertile world that, you know, where nations right now are not creating enough, they're not having, their birth rate's so low that Japan will cease to exist in a couple of a decade or so. America's not producing that many children to reproduce. Europe is gone in regards to whoever they were because they stopped having children. And that, but when I look at it, being with my years in ministry, your years in ministry, I can't help but go, why are we talking about the world's infertility when we look at the church and it's like, we're not reproducing, we're not having children? Because to have a child means this: I got to sacrifice myself. I have to spend time with the child. I have to raise it. I have to want their life to do good. I have to deal with a different person, different personality, different character, somebody who might tell me I'm a bad father or a bad mother. And then somehow through all this, you know, family happens. And it's painful to your own self sometimes to pour yourself out for someone. So people say, I'd rather abort this child than to live with it. I'd rather not have children. Some particular lady said on a Sunday morning interview program, she says, I don't dislike children. I'm just indifferent to them. She's a teacher in the school system. And so my dilemma is when I hear about you on this is that the church is infertile. I think if the church was fertile, the world, if we appreciated children and family, they would appreciate children and family. Does that make sense? If we saw value in pouring our life out for someone else and it was okay for them to do better than us and we saw pleasure in their success, isn't the church almost like a plumb line for God's creation, that if we are healthy, then it reflects in the community? It just seems to be infertility in the church.
Well,
in American church, I could say.
Well, there is in the Western church, Europe, infertility is a is a subject that should be explored because it's a natural phenomenon as well as a spiritual phenomenon. And it's true most in most countries. And the testosterone levels are dropping around the world. And it's a serious issue more than people realize. And how much culture affects biology and how much biology affects culture, I'm not a scientist, but my belief is that the culture affects biology, that the climate, the cultural climate, has a bearing on us physically. For one thing, children grow up without physical labor, which I think is important, particularly to men. When I grew up working in a farm or doing construction, and in fact, I got a job when I was 9 sweeping rooms at school. It was just a work ethic.
Right.
And my parents taught me that. They were hardworking. And that was good for me. But that's all gone away. And now, of course, you've got cell phones that are very dominant. Mm-hmm. And you can find out anything. You don't need a library.
Right.
And you can talk to anybody around the world. You can network with anybody.
Without relationship.
Without relationship. And without any physical effort. Mm-hmm. So I really am concerned about the physical impact this is having on humanity. And of course, whatever is going on in nature and whatever is going on, let's say, in the church, mm-hmm. parallels. Our founders believe God wrote 2 books, the Bible and natural law, and that they agreed because they had the same author. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, of course. I think nature, if we truly come at it open, will teach us the same truths like reproduction.
Right. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it talks about
that. That's right.
Yeah.
So everything is designed to reproduce. That's how it's here.
Right.
Everything has memory or it couldn't reproduce. Mm-hmm. Take away memory, you take away reproduction. I mean, the parallels and the depth of that conversation is big.
So it could be impacting the church because the church sees we're doing things in a traditional way versus a natural production reproduction way of, you know, you come together, you hang out. It's like, this is an amazing thing to me, is you can have 2 young people who hang out with each other, and all of a sudden they go, we don't know what happened, mm-hmm. but we're getting married next week.
Right.
And it's like accidentally, that they hung out and something happened in their lives and they realized, oh my gosh, we accidentally reproduced. But it's like the church can't even act. And I'm not speaking to that. I love the church. But it's like we hang out, the church hangs out, and all we get is a potluck dinner. It's like we hang out. And
don't reproduce.
People who don't even know God can hang out.
Right.
And when they leave, they have reproduction taking place. But the struggle is like there's so much a lack of intimacy that is required for building a relationship that does reproduce another relationship. How do you fix that dilemma? I mean, how do you get people to like people enough to want to have God's children? Does that make sense?
Well, yes, and you know, along with that is couples are getting married later and later and having children later and later. And let me take this in a way that may seem a little off subject. But did you ever ask yourself, how did the Jews pass on the law before the synagogue was formed? How did they pass on their culture? I think most people agree the synagogue was formed in Babylon to preserve the culture. But, you know, that's not quite, but maybe almost 1,000 years after right. Moses. What did they do then to pass it on?
Kind of told the story, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell it verbally.
Mm-hmm. They would pass on relationally with their children in the community. And I think once they started depending on the synagogue, the story became more academic and less spiritual content.
Right.
I think the same is true. I think for many years, the story in this country was passed on in families. And then as families began to dissolve, or as parents are out working, it became more institutional. We trusted the institution to pass on our story.
And they changed the story.
They changed the story. Exactly. Mm. And so what I'm saying is that it isn't a fruitful story.
Right.
The years ago, not too many years ago, the story you got in the family, the story you got in the school was pretty much the same. We had Bible reading and prayer every morning at school. If you're in trouble in one place, you're in trouble everywhere.
Right.
Because it was a community. Yeah. That's not true in the same way. And I don't mean to talk about the good old days. They had their problems too. But I am concerned about the lack of fruitfulness. And there are those that are fruitful, thank God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Europe, the fruitfulness, and to some extent, we wouldn't be reproducing ourselves here without the foreign population coming in.
Right. True.
And in Europe, that's doubly true.
That's actually why people are embracing the migration of immigrants, because they're realizing their nation will not exist if they don't increase their population.
But the people that are reproducing in Europe, for the most part, are Islamic.
Mm, that's true.
And they're having fruit because it's very family-oriented. Now, we think it's a distorted view of family, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, it is family-oriented.
I believe the projections are maybe 10 years that it will totally be Islamic because of the birth rate alone.
That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's right. And we're following the trend. We're just a little behind.
Right, right.
We always follow Europe here.
We'll be right back.
I'm not the son of God because you say I am. I'm the son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says he will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says he has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., at 6500 Pensacola Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida. You can even join us online at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So then, how do we rediscover? We have to find meaning in family again. And it may mean just be in family, watch Holy Spirit do what he does, and it just begins again because of the fact you can't take what refuses to be or what's confident or just settle, this is us. And try to bring that into something, because it's like mixing the old and the new. They just rip each other apart. But I look around and look at who's there, who's attending these different gatherings, and all. I'm like, there's not a lot of young people in these gatherings. There's not, you know, it's nothing against, you know, people our age or older. It's the fact is, it's like, how are we going to reach that generation? You know, what do you think is going to be the thing? And you've seen things happen, like in the 60s, when the Holy Spirit just started shifting almost against everyone's will, things you didn't necessarily would have accepted, God began just to do it. And you watched him do what he did.
I think it's going to take the Holy Spirit. I have carried two big concerns, one being men and the other being youth. And I'm not so concerned about the status of women, though there's a lot to be concerned about.
Right.
But I believe if God reaches men and God reaches youth, that will help women. I think Jesus did more for women than anybody's ever thought about doing.
He did, yeah.
And I'm all for upgrading the status of women. But you can do that even to the detriment of men.
Right.
And that I think we live in an anti-male culture.
We do.
And that's foolish because we're talking about fruitfulness.
Right.
And I don't want to go too far with this, but we are getting away from what causes fruitfulness, what makes it happen. And I believe that there are places where God is reaching young people, mm-hmm. and where they're getting on board. I think that creating, and I advocate this wherever I go, get with a small group of people that you're compatible with, you can be united with.
Right.
Make that your spiritual community in place of accountability. Mm-hmm. Then focus on praying for young people or whatever needs to be
right.
prayed for. But you'll have success if there's harmony and the Holy Spirit is there. Things will happen that won't happen, I don't think, any other way. That's how yeah. the charismatic movement got started, was women's prayer groups.
Okay.
And they were praying about husbands and children
right.
and issues and gathering in homes and seeking God. The Holy Spirit began to fall, and it can happen again.
Yeah, that's where we birthed out of the whole situation, where we're just loving God, loving each other, and then it came to the point where it's like, okay, in addition to that, you're going to need to reach out.
Right.
And we were amazed because we were reading, maybe it was Mega Shift from James Ritz or somebody said, you know, yes, this small gathering, and I hate that we define things by where it meets. We don't call it the stucco church.
Right,
we don't call
right.
it the brick church, and we
right.
don't, or the storefront church. For some reason, if a church happens to meet into a house,
right.
you know, they call it a house church. But from what I understand, the United States of America has ran out of a house called the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can run the biggest country in the world out of a house.
Right.
So we're reading with like two of those churches got together, and they noticed that all the schools were leaving this particular inner city area. And so they got together and said, let's start a school. I mean, two churches that people would think have no impact,
right?
Literally, powerfully impacted
right.
this community because they said, let's start a school. They started a school, and I was so amazed by that. And now we're looking like, well, God started with us. He started an international television program. We just followed him. We did what he said. But it's without those relationships, though, Brother Charles, without having people
right.
who love you and you love them and you're walking through life together, we wouldn't have made it. But we've done it out of those relationships that we have.
Absolutely.
Does it make sense?
One will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight.
Yes.
And I agree completely. I think that's where the church is, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. I had a message for one of the groups, the Statesman Project, called The Power of Small,
mm-hmm.
and everything God has done that I can think of, as far as we're involved, came out of a small group of people
right.
seeking God. All the great revivals. And there's some tremendous stories, the Hebrides revival, the Shantung revival, great revivals. Two or three people or four people got concerned and started seeking God, repenting, humbling themselves, and next thing you know, the power of God fell.
Right.
And I believe that can happen again. In fact, I think that the greatest harvest has not yet happened.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern is that it not be in the minds of people a redo on
right.
what's happened in the past.
Correct.
That this be something, because every real revival brings new songs and new methods.
Right.
That's how the Methodists got their name, is Whitfield went out into the miners and all that. And then finally Wesley followed, and they call them Methodists because they didn't any longer use the liturgical method right. in the church. They were out. Well, there's always new methods. And
something that we have any, it's going to be new, right. a new thing, and the old thing can't contain it.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, right. that the things the Lord's showing us that, I mean, he's told us very specifically that, I mean, it's going to be just, you know, 100 million people getting saved, for example. But you can't connect them in organizations. You connect them through relationship, and that some streams are going to be responsible for, like in China, they have, this is normal in China, but not in the West. You know, 60 million people could be in their expression, but it's, they might not know who they are, but there's, you know what I'm saying, relationship and family. One man could be locked up in jail, but he's a father to a million people.
That's exactly he's responsible. Right.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. And so we're just saying, God, you're going to give us the wisdom for that, how to connect. Because I think about, I know we're jumping out of this, but I wanted to talk to you about this. I know that when you began to see God move in the charismatic movement, I believe that it's defined as, you saw this fruit, and you begin to see what's going on, but you were limited by communication. You had began the New Wine magazine, I guess, in 1968, maybe?
69. 69.
Mm-hmm. And that was the method of communicating at that time. You had to fly physically to areas, and hopefully people would show up.
Right.
For some reason, the people who were doing the right things wouldn't show up, so it was hard to have impact on that, you know, what was going on. You know, globally, because it was a global situation, a national situation. And today I'm looking at where, if you had today's technology where everybody's hearing the same thing and that people can't corner people off and cut them off from the
right.
flow,
right?
How would it have been different for you when you compare those today? Because we're able to talk at the same time, and you may tell somebody they can't hear it, but they're going to go listen to it. If you told them you can't hear it, they're going to go listen to it.
Absolutely.
Technology-wise, when you're looking at what you had and what God was doing, powerful move of God, a desire to see disciples, but limited in methodology. I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I tend to believe that everything is appropriate to its time. And if you try to evaluate something from a different season, it's impossible.
Right. I agree.
It's like what happened in the 60s. You got to know what was going on in the 60s. And I think what went on then was a kind of cross-pollination that superseded traditional denominations. And I know myself and a number of other speakers and teachers traveled millions of miles. And a lot of times, not all the time, but you would build a relationship. And sometimes you'd go more than once. Mm-hmm. And so your networking is happening in a way that I think is more personal than the internet.
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
The internet, of course, now offers opportunities beyond anything we ever imagined. And, you know, the young people, they seem to be born on the internet, and they know how to access everything.
Except a relationship.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Or their relationships are digital connections.
True.
Which is, I don't think, quite as effective. But what is happening, what will be happening and is happening is different than anything I've ever seen. And we've got some serious issues to face, but I believe God's going to do some serious things. I think that what you're finding now is you can't block out a group of people and say, you can't have this.
Right.
And I think what's happening in Hong Kong right now has a bearing. I think there are other things that are happening because people are hungry for access. Mm-hmm. and they want to be in. Everybody's checking the news,
right?
How many times a day? And so a thing can move around the world in seconds, literally.
A good thing or a bad thing.
Good things and bad things.
Right.
But I think that what it's going to do, it's going to find people, whether it's pornography finding people, mm-hmm. or gambling finding people, or something else finding people. I believe God's going to find people.
Yeah.
And people arise. It's like filings to a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
They arise to something that they're hungry for. And I think this next move of God is going to be different than anything I've ever seen. We have to take into account that we're dealing with tech now that can control thought.
Yeah.
And how is that going to affect the culture? Is there going to be a rebellion against it? I don't know. But we're dealing with technology across the board that is going to have as much power or more than anything we ever imagined an Antichrist to have.
Right.
Or a United Nations dictator.
Right.
This is something...
Without a nation, it has that kind of power. Without any kind of accountability, it has that kind of power.
No accountability, worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide.
And you got AI, implantation. You got a lot of things
Elon
going
Musk
on.
Has got that company right now about working on getting the implant in. That's Mark right. Zuckerberg with Facebook says he already has the ability to transition the firings in your neuroreceptors to words. It's like, this is the beast economy. We're like right here in this moment, right? When
That's
you think
right.
about it.
That's right. And that's not hypothetical.
No, it's not.
This is not of saying, well, I read the book of Revelation and I have a prophecy. This is right in our face.
It's right now.
And I don't think the average Christian is giving that any thought. I don't think the average pastor is giving it a lot of thought. And I think to secure individual integrity in the face of this onslaught of conformity, it's going to take intentionality. It's going to take being grounded in God and in His Word, being led by the Spirit. So as ominous as all of that sounds and is, it's going to force a kind of reality to the church and to Christians that we haven't known in the past.
I hate to interrupt this, but guess what? We're going to continue this interview on the next program. Make sure you join us tomorrow for the next part of this amazing interview. We're not going to stop till this interview is completely shown to you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.